Beautiful song. Thank you very much.
I thought somebody was doing this with their mouth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. How grateful we are for that fact. You laid down your life for the sheep. Lord, we're here in this place today to hear from you. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord, you are a good God, a merciful and loving God. And if we have burdens today and we have cares and we have hurts in our life from this past week, Lord, help us to know that we're in the right place, that Jesus is here, the shepherd is here to minister to the sheep. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. We're in our third week of our series, More. And we're learning that God has many names. And as you understand those names, it gives you a more accurate look into God's heart and His character. Today we're going to be looking at this name of God. Say it with me. Jehovah Ra. You can walk out of here and say, now that you know Hebrew. Jehovah Ra means Lord my shepherd. Do you know where we find that phrase in the Bible? Anybody? Lord my shepherd? I'll help you out. It's in Psalms. It's between the 22nd and the 24th Psalm. Psalm 23. It's one of the most revered and beloved passages in the Bible. I've turned to it many times in my life and have found that it ministers to our deepest spiritual longings when we face times of need. David wrote this psalm. The Old Testament book of 2 Samuel records the time in David's life when his own son had rebelled against him and toppled him from the throne. And David was forced to flee Jerusalem, flee out into the wilderness with his family, where he was hunted and hounded for many months. And perhaps because so much of his early life had been spent as a shepherd, that in this same wilderness, that David recalled his experience as a young shepherd in writing this 23rd Psalm. This is a psalm for people like David who are experiencing upheaval of some nature in their life. See, perhaps you too have children who are rebelling. Or you have a home that's in turmoil this morning. Or there's some long-standing relationship in your life that is on the verge of breaking up. Perhaps you came to church this morning doubting the good shepherd's care and concern and love for you. Whatever it may be, this psalm was written for you and for me. It's a psalm for people who are shaken and in trouble and who need a reassuring word from the Good Shepherd. David begins with a statement which is the theme of the Psalms, of the Psalm 23:1. Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, how many can quote Psalm 23? Little six-year-old girl raised her hand and the teacher asked her to stand and recite for the class. The girl stood up and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And she went and she sat down. Well, she had the words mixed up, and she was missing the rest of the verse. But she understood the message perfectly. There are really only two options when it comes to this. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, just like it's written. Or number two, if I am in want, then the Lord perhaps is not my shepherd. You see, when God is our shepherd, all our needs are taken care of by Him. And I didn't say our greeds. Our needs are taken care of by the shepherd. When someone says, I shall not be in want, you know, we kind of sit up and take notice because we live in an age of discontent. I've been told that there's a cemetery in England that has a headstone with this inscription. She died for want of things. You go over one grave plot, there's another tombstone there with this inscription. He died trying to give them to her. Be careful what you write on your tombstone. Christian author and pastor Max Lucado refers to our discontentment as the, quote, prison of want. He says, its prisoners want something that's bigger, nicer, faster, or thinner. He goes on to write, if your happiness comes from something that you deposit, you drive, you drink, or digest, then you're in the prison of want. So here's the question. How about you today? Are you locked up in the prison of want? If so, I would encourage you, allow the powerful simplicity of Psalm 23:1 to fill your heart this morning. What you and I have in Jehovah Ra for time and eternity is greater than whatever you think you don't have in this fleeting life here on earth. Now, if the Lord is to be our shepherd, then we have to begin to recognize that we are what? Sheep. And I don't like that analogy. I never have liked that analogy. Because sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the barnyard. They're timid. They're defenseless. Oh, I know they're cute. They're helpless. And someone has said they literally don't know how to come in out of the rain. And then to have God to tell me that I am one, oh God, that hurts my feelings. I don't want to be a sheep. Tiger, a lion, a bear. But if I'm honest with myself, I know it's true. I know that I lack wisdom and I lack strength. And I'm inclined to be self-destructive. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said it best when he said, we all, that's you and me and everyone else who's read this, like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, on Jesus. I know my tendency toward going my own way and doing my own thing. Lord, I confess, I'm a sheep. If the Lord is to be my shepherd, I've got to admit that I'm a sheep, and then I have to admit that I need a shepherd. Only when we admit that need can we discover the truth in Psalm 23:1. We shall not be in want, now or forever. David goes on and tells us the ways which the good shepherd meets our needs. The first is found here in Psalm 23:2-3. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The first thing the Lord, the shepherd, does is to meet the needs of our inner being, our soul. He meets the needs that we have for spiritual nourishment within. The basic needs of his sheep are grass and water, pasture land and water. And this verse is a very picturesque scene of sheep lying down in a grassy pasture, having eaten till they're full. Oh, look at them. And the shepherd says, it's time to get up. We're going to go get a drink at a quiet or still water. I've been told that sheep are afraid of running water, afraid they'll fall in and their fleece will get filled with water and they'll sink and drown. And so they'll only drink from a quiet or still water, such as we have here with our beautiful pond. A good shepherd, particularly in a semi-arid region such as Palestine, he knows where the good watering holes are located. He knows where the grassy pastures are located. And so he leads the sheep into places where they can rest and where they can eat and where they can drink. Good shepherd. The picture's one of calmness and peace because the basic needs of the sheep are being met. The counterpart in our lives is obvious. God restores our souls through our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Just as the shepherd provides what the sheep need to grow and flourish, we find what we need to grow and flourish spiritually through our relationship with Jesus. Jesus writes this about the words that, or John writes this about the words Jesus spoke. It says, then Jesus declared, and all the rest of this is from Jesus himself, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, what does John 6:35 say that we must do if we don't want to be spiritually hungry and thirsty any longer? It's not a trick question. What does Jesus say? We must come to Him, right? We must come to Jesus. So that's what He's doing today. He's inviting us to come to Him to have our spiritual needs met. The second thing that Jehovah Rod does is to give us direction in life. David writes, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Hebrew word translated paths here means a well-defined and well-worn trail. And this indicates again to us how dumb sheep can be, because even when the trail is well-marked, they still need a shepherd to lead them. You see, they're still inclined to wander and go their own way, no matter how obvious the path may be. The shepherd, he knows the paths, or she knows the paths, because he's been there, she's been there before, and the sheep trust him. Trust him. I think one of the most anxiety-producing factors for most of us is the uncertainty we have about the future paths we must travel. We wonder what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, next year, on and on and on. Those paths I'm going to take. The decisions I make on the path are going to affect my family. They're going to affect my friends. Some may even affect you. And your decisions have the same kind of impact. Decision-making is critical. But it can be frustrating, because how do we know when we're making the right ones? There's a story about a soldier who was undergoing basic training at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and he pulled KP duty. Anybody know what KP duty is? Kitchen patrol, whatever they call it, whatever. It's not a very good duty. And so he had an assignment in the kitchen area to sort potatoes. It was a huge mound of potatoes, largest mound of potatoes he'd ever seen in his life. The mess sergeant told him to put all the bad potatoes in one bin and all the good potatoes in another bin. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Sergeant came back 2 hours later and he finds the man holding up one potato, just staring at it, turning it every which way. No potatoes in either bin. The sergeant said, "What's the matter? Don't you like the job?" He probably said some other things too that I can't say here. And the soldier said, "It's not the job, it's the decisions that are killing me. I can't decide." And I often feel that way in life, and maybe you do too. We have to make countless decisions every day, and sometimes it's overwhelming. We need a shepherd. We need someone who knows the paths and the trails, who we can trust to help us with the decisions we're going to have to make. David says, the good shepherd will lead us in the right path. And that's a promise. That's a promise. And he does this, David says, for his name's sake. It isn't my name which is at stake. It isn't your name that's at stake. It's his name. It's God's character. It's God's reputation that's at stake. God must fulfill his promise to give us guidance. Otherwise, God's reputation is being damaged in the world. He said he would lead us in the right paths. And to me, that's a tremendous source of encouragement. I know that the decisions I make today and tomorrow will be right if I walk on the path my shepherd has shown me. That's the only guarantee I have. The third thing that David says that Jehovah Rod does is to provide protection. In Psalm 23:4, David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is a picture of the shepherd leading the sheep back home at evening after they've done their grazing. And in the hilly mountainous country, they go down through a gorge between two high hills. The sun is setting, so there's a shadow across the path. And the sheep are skittish and they're frightened by this shadow that they're going into. But they trust the shepherd. And therefore, they are comforted. They will fear no evil because the shepherd is with them. We're reminded of the Lord's words quoted in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Jesus says, "Never will I leave you," read it with me, "never will I forsake you." And our response to this truth is found in the next verse, 13:6. We can respond this way because of what Jesus has said to us. So we say with confidence, that's me and you and all God's people, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" We have confidence because of what Jesus said. "I'm not going to leave you strung out and hanging. I'll never forsake you." So we have confidence. "What can man do to me?" I don't know what your experience has been, but I've been in situations where I felt a great deal of pressure and stress and pain. And I actually began to wonder, has the Lord abandoned me? Has he left me out here on a hanging by my fingertips? But then, in some supernatural way, I'm reminded of Hebrews 13:5, where the shepherd says, "He never leaves me. He never will forsake me. Never, never, never. He's always been there for me. Whether you know it or not, he's always been there for you." And therefore, we have no reason to fear No matter how dark the valley we're going through, and I know some of you are going through some dark valleys, God would say to you, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You can trust me today. And then David goes on and he writes, your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod was a small club, which was used to wild dogs or some kind of wild animal. It's more of a weapon against, not the sheep, but against those predators. Never used on the sheep. The staff was a slender pole. How many have been to a children's Christmas program and seen those shepherd's staff? Pole with a little crook on the end. And the crook could be used by the shepherd to kind of grab around a sheep's hind leg and pull a sheep out if he fell into a crevasse or some area. Could be used also, because it was a little longer than the club, to kind of direct the sheep when he was herding them. Little tap on the side of the body. Understanding how the shepherd tends his sheep should help us in understanding the character of God. Now, when I go wandering away from God, and I'm sure I'm the only one in this building that's ever wandered away from God, but just let me tell you my story, okay? When I've wandered away from God, God doesn't shout out throughout heaven, hey, there goes that stupid sheep, David Blackburn, again. And bam, on the top of my head with the staff or the club or whatever he's got. No, that's not how God works. He sees me wandering. Yeah, he knows I'm wandering. But his attitude is this. You know, how can I help David? He needs some help. How can I bring him back into line with what he knows he should do? Now, God may have to discipline me, and he's done that many times in my life. But he always disciplines me like you discipline your children, I hope, out of love. We don't discipline our children because we're mean and we can. It's out of love. He brings us back in line. In verses 5 and 6, the metaphors change from the good shepherd that the band played about to a gracious host. David writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That God provides, that God leads, that God protects is all bound up in this symbol of a gracious host. And this thought comes out of the historical situation that happened to David. When David was driven into the wilderness by his son Absalom, as I mentioned earlier, he found himself out into the desert, Judean desert. He was hungry and weary. He had this little small army. They were all in disarray. And God used three men to be a blessing to David and provide for his needs. This is what the three men did. They brought bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They also brought wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese from cow's milk for David and his people to eat. For they said, the people have become hungry and tired and thirsty in the desert. David saw in the actions of these three men that God was preparing a table before him in the presence of his enemies that were coming to try to destroy him. Paul, many thousands of years later, said it this way, hundreds of years later, excuse me, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply, what's the next word? All your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs. Again, let's don't confuse our needs with our greeds. I have full confidence to pray for any of you and have you pray for me when I have a legitimate need that needs to be met by my Heavenly Father. The middle section of Psalm 23:5 has unique meaning. David writes, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." In ancient Israel, shepherds used a liquid made up of olive oil, sulfur, and spices. They used it for three purposes. Number one is to repel the summer flies out in the pasture land. Number two was to heal the wounds of the sheep. And number three was to help prevent conflict. Now, the next part's kind of gross, so if you want to put your fingers in your ears, okay, I'm warning you. The nasal fly lays eggs in the membrane of the sheep's nose. And this causes intense irritation and inflammation. And sheep in this condition go a little bit cuckoo. So next time we see you in the commons going a little cuckoo, we'll say, do you have fly eggs in your nose? Probably not, would say that. They wouldn't eat, you know, and you wouldn't eat either. And the female sheep, the ewes, wouldn't care for the lambs. So the shepherd would have to get some of this liquid potion that he made and put it across the nose to repel the flies from wanting to go up there and lay their eggs. It's kind of a forerunner of a product that you might buy in a green can called Off. But not really. Sheep also in their daily life could get wounds out in the pasture land and walking to and fro. They could get cuts from rocks, abrasions, thorn punctures. And the shepherd would take this same liquid and put it upon an abrasion or a cut or a puncture, and to keep that from getting infected while the natural healing process took place. And then thirdly, during the rutting season, the ram sheep would butt their heads in their battles to win the affection of the girl sheep, which I said were called ewes. So the shepherd always had his ear tuned when he knew the men were getting kind of frisky, the men, the rams. And when he heard two rams say, "I want you, babe," or something like that, he knew there's going to be a rumble, not in the jungle, but in the pasture. So he would take this oily substance and rub it on the two guys. And when they went at each other, instead of cracking their heads open in the middle, they just kind of deflect. You know how oil would do on your hand. You just kind of slip by. It was slippery. And really, all kidding aside, this is kind of the picture of what Jehovah Ra does for you and me. He deals with our problems by protecting us from things that can spiritually injure and take us out. And there are many things of that nature. He also helps us have harmony and peace with others, not only in the congregation, in the fellowship of faith fellowship, but in the world, people that we work with. And he also heals us when we're spiritually beat up and attacked by the devil. And if truth be told, there are wounded sheep in this place in need of healing from the Good Shepherd this morning. David ends the 23rd Psalm with another powerful promise. He says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The word "follow" there means pursue. David says that God's goodness and his love, and in some translations his mercy, will pursue him. In contrast to the pursuit of the enemies out to take away his throne and destroy him, God's love would race after him and pursue him and always be there.
David had a desire to go back to Jerusalem and worship in the tabernacle. And God's mercy and kindness and love in our lives ought to bring forth that same response from us. Worship. When we come into this place and the worship band plays the beautiful songs, and you're thinking about everything else on your agenda for the week or where you're going to eat, and you don't just take some moments. It's worship, my friends. And if God's love and mercy and grace in your life doesn't elicit from your heart worship, when we truly see all that Good Shepherd does to lead us and provide for us and protect us, our response ought to be true worship. It's God we're worshiping. We're not worshiping this church. We're not worshiping the pastors or the praise band. It's God we've come to worship. And what a great thought for at least my heart, that God's love and His goodness will pursue me all the rest of the days of my life, however many that is, or however few. David writes about a powerful life-altering decision here. He says that as a sheep, he will dwell with the shepherd, the Lord God Almighty, in His eternal house forever. David makes the decision. It's his alone to make. He makes it, and he confirms his choice. He recognized that all of us, as sheep, have to make a decision to either follow the Good Shepherd and dwell and live in a relationship with Him, or choose not to follow. Every one of you, that's the only choice, two choices you have. There's no in between. You either choose to follow the Good Shepherd, or you choose not to follow. It's your choice today. I see three things as reminders for us this morning. Number one, join the shepherd's flock. If you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins and then go on and shepherd your life, you're not in His flock today. And that's not an indictment. That's just a statement of fact. You're not in His flock. A famous actor with a world-renowned voice was once asked by an old preacher to recite Psalm 23 at a local church gathering. And the actor agreed on one condition. He said, "I will come and I will recite it if you will also recite it after I'm finished." So the day arrived and the actor stood up and the place was packed. He gives this dramatic presentation of the 23rd Psalm with all the intonation and voice projection of years of training. When it was finished, everyone in the audience, they applauded wildly. They were just overcome with emotion. The preacher stood up and he had a very rough and raspy voice, broken because of the many years of preaching without amplification like we have today. And he quoted the 23rd Psalm from memory. Now when he finished, there wasn't any clapping, but there was some crying. There were some people that actually were kneeling. Sometime later, the actor was asked, "What made the difference there?" He said, "You know, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." So this morning, again, another question I ask you, do you know the shepherd? You know the shepherd? If not, join his flock today. Number two, stay close to the shepherd. Sheep that stay close to the shepherd reach the water first. Those next to the shepherd get to the sweetest grass first. When we stay close to the shepherd, He will make sure all of our needs are met. Unfortunately, many of us have a tendency to stray. I read that sometimes shepherds would put a little wooden splint, homemade splint, on a wandering sheep's leg to kind of hobble it and slow it down for the sheep to learn to stay close to the shepherd. And the splint would stay on that way until the sheep learned not to wander away. Don't wander today into places and activities you should avoid. Stay close to the shepherd. And then 3, follow wherever Jehovah Ra leads you. When you know the Lord through a salvation experience and you stay close to Him as you mature spiritually, you're going to want to follow Him wherever He leads you. Sometimes He leads beside still waters and through green pastures. But sometimes He could lead through deep valleys. The shepherd has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. So again, another question: are you willing to follow Him regardless of the path He takes you on? Are you? You could say, oh yeah, because it's green pastures and still water right now, and it's just wonderful. But you never know, by the end of the week, it could be a valley. Are you willing? One of my favorite hymns from long ago had a couple of lines that go like this: I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Over 60 years ago, I made the decision to follow Jesus. I was a young boy. To the best of my understanding, I followed with the knowledge that I had about Jesus. And in those years, I wouldn't want to begin to count and tell you how many mistakes I've made. And I've been a wandering sheep at times, many times. But the Good Shepherd has always been more than willing to keep loving me, to keep watching over me, and keep protecting me all these years. And I'm so grateful for that. Don't deserve it. It's His mercy. Because of what Jesus has done for me throughout these years, I can say with all confidence today, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we thank You for the Good Shepherd. We thank You for Your Son Jesus, who said that He was the Good Shepherd and that He laid down His life for the sheep. Lord, I'm one of those sheep that He laid down His life for. And I am so grateful this morning, Lord, that even though I have failed You on numerous occasions, You did not beat me into submission. You lovingly brought me back. You love me, Lord, and I am so thankful. And I know that I'm not the only one who could say that in this place today. Many, many have experienced the love of God throughout their lives. We've experienced the Good Shepherd loving us and protecting us and caring for us and disciplining us and bringing us back when we wandered and strayed away. And we're so grateful that we're back on the paths of righteousness this morning. Now, Lord, we love You. And as we come to this communion table, it's a moment for us to recommit ourselves
to you. And we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, in John 10, Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. And then John the Baptist, when he was speaking about Jesus, said that Jesus was the Lamb of God. So, you got the Good Shepherd and you got the Lamb of God all wrapped up in one. John said he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This Lamb of God took away my sins, took away your sins. And when we gather on Communion Sunday, it's a time for us to remember that He took away our sins. I think it's also a time for us to reflect, Lord, what would you have me to do with my life? What would you have me to do with the sin that I'm engaged in? Lord, let me lay it down today. Let me come with clean hands and a pure heart. So you always have opportunity before you come. And please stay in your seat before you're dismissed. The back row goes first this time. But take a moment. Meditate with the Lord. Ask Him, say, Lord, what is in my heart today that's not pleasing to you? He's the Good Shepherd. He loves you with all of His heart. He loved you so much, they say, is that, you know, He loved you this much, where He hung on that cross for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we as a church family can take communion together today. That grape juice, which symbolizes the blood that was shed by our Good Shepherd, our Savior, the Lamb of God. The wafer that represents His body that was so mutilated and marred for our sins. We thank you that we're forgiven today in Jesus. Now let us come, Lord, rejoicing. Let us come thankful before this table today. And we thank you, Jesus, that as we go forth for this next week and our duties and our lives, that we can trust you to lead us and protect us and guide us, because truly you are the Good Shepherd, now and forever. It's in your name we pray. Amen.